Blog Talk Radio.
But it was all that I could do to keep from crying. Sometimes it seems so useless to remain, but you don't have to call me darling, darling. You never call me Waylon Jennings, and you don't have to call me Charlie Price, and you don't have to call me Merle Haggard anymore. Even though you're on my
welcome, everybody, to the West Texas Pitmasters Barbecue Show on Sunday nights. It's been kind of a wild weekend, and I've been busy and run a little behind tonight, so everybody bear with me. We're going to have Stacy Laurier on tonight. He's going to talk a little bit about a event I think they're going to have, I believe, the first part of next year, maybe in February, if I'm correct on that. I think it's going to be a Kansas City cook, and so we'll have him on here shortly. The chat room is up. We've got a few guys in there already. Everybody kind of waiting on me tonight, looks like. So we did some catering this weekend, and I just kind of been running behind all weekend. A couple of big contests around our area around here. Lovington, New Mexico had a big state championship cook, and so hopefully we'll get some guys to call in here in a little bit, and maybe we can talk about that a little bit and see how all that went. I know Junior Guerrero's up in smoke was there, and several others, Ronnie Wade, Ruben Winteres, Stan Brenham, Josh Brenham. There was quite a few guys from out here in West Texas competing over this weekend, so maybe we'll get some reports on and how everybody's at. I've been kind of out of touch with everybody all weekend, so I'm just now starting to get a few texts and a few things and finding out about a few. I know Dick Odom was the reserve grand champion, and I believe Ronnie Wade won it. So I believe I heard that they had about 26 teams, which is a good turnout. We were there last year, and I think we had 18 or 19. Junior won it. He was grand, and I was reserve there last year, so looks like they had a few more teams that should have qualified this year as a state championship. So Ronnie, I believe, qualified for the American Roll, which I believe is probably the second or third time this year that he's qualified. So, but, you know, like I said, hopefully we'll get some of them guys in here and we'll get everybody going and get some guys called in. We'll talk. Like to get tags to kind of get everybody kind of calling tonight. We'll just kind of have a fun time. I know it's Father's Day, and I want to say happy Father's Day to everybody. And kind of what I'll do just a minute ago, I was cooking fajitas for the family, and so we're running a little behind there, but I got them knocked out, and so they're eating, and we're going to talk, and we're going to have a good time tonight. If you'd like to call in, the number is 347-202-0263. I would like to go ahead and thank my sponsors tonight, Daryl Mass and Barbecue Superstars. Without him, we wouldn't be having the show and been able to do a little preaching on Sunday night in the barbecue world. So thank them and Grill Great, Matter of fact, I was using my grill grates Friday night. We did a big fajita cook and cooked for about, I don't know, 70, 80 people, and had a great time. And the grill grates come in real handy that night. So I'd like to thank them. Meat Rake, you know, as always, if you got some pork to pull, they're the people to pull your pork. Only tool out there, best tool out there to do that. And so I'm glad to have them on. And GOT Energy Services out of Midland, Texas, and we'd like to have them on board, and great sponsors of ours. And be hearing a little bit more about them this fall. We're going to have some bigger stuff going on, and maybe get them a little more involved. AT's Barbecue, got some terrific barbecue sauce out there. I know he called in last week, and we talked a little bit about it. He's got a jalapeno barbecue sauce, and it's original, and I use them. They're great products, and, you know, give them a shout-out. You can find them on Facebook. And Texas Web and Graphic, if you need web work or graphics, business cards, banners, they do all of ours. And, man, they do a tremendous job. Couldn't do it without them. Oak Ridge Barbecue, got some of the best rubs out there. They're, you know, in our arsenal every week that we're competing, and you know, even times we're not competing. So give a big shout out to them. And you know, if you need to you need some award-winning barbecue rubs, stuff like that, give them a shout. Great guys. Big Ron's Rubs, got a killer beef injection. You don't hear a lot about it out there, but I can tell you this. And close to the 30 contests or so I've done the last year and a half or so, he's been in the arsenal, and just can't do without it. So that's a big shout, and he's got some other rubs up out there too. So, you know, give him a shout. And anyways, well, that's kind of what's going on tonight. Like I said, we're running a little behind, and kind of a holiday weekend. So I had two caterings this weekend, so we've just been kind of busting it out all weekend. So it looks like we've got someone in queue here. We'll go ahead and queue them in, and I guess we'll get this show started. So what's going on? Hey. 936-355-4537. You're live. Who do we have?
This is Stacy with Swamp Donkey's Barbecue.
Hey, bud, what are you doing?
Oh, nothing. Been out playing in the pool with the kids.
Cleaning the pool. Well, you know, I'm just kind of ready for the pool today, to be honest with you. So, but instead, I'm sitting out here in West Texas sweating. So, I usually kind of come outside to do my show. Kind of sad with the family's way and all that. And Dad, I'm hot and humid today. So,
yes, sir. It's been pretty tough down here.
Yeah, I can only imagine. You're in Houston, isn't that correct?
Yeah, just about an hour and a half north of Houston.
Okay. So, well, I think, if I understood right, and I've been following it a little bit, you guys are going to have a big event. It's in February next year, is that correct?
It's going to be actually the first weekend in March. It's going to start February 27th and run through the 1st of March.
Okay.
And,
okay.
It's going to be a KCBS sanctioned event, and we're going to have it at our local fairgrounds here in Walker County. And we got a pretty nice setup back there, you know, for cook-offs and stuff. They've got 92 40 by 40 spots with power and water, so you know we can accommodate quite a few people there. And it's going to be the Shotgun Fred Barbecue Showdown. I'm sure some of y'all, you know who Fred Perkle is. He's the guy that has a barbecue or had a barbecue guru. And he went to school here in Huntsville, Sam. And graduated from Sam. He got a bachelor's and a master's in industrial arts. And whenever he got sick and everything, he made an endowment to the college. And he pledged $25 million to the Industrial Arts Center up there for a building and a research center and things of that nature. And then also he started a scholarship fund. And basically the scholarship fund is going to help out about 80 students a year with books and tuition. And this cook-off that we're going to do, we're going to help kind of keep that fund going to keep these kids going to school. And because, you know, that's what Fred wanted, and he wanted us to do that KCBS deal here, you know, close to San Houston.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, you know, industrial arts, stuff like that, you know, of course, I did a little different in college, but, you know, in high school, I was a big FFA kid and a wood shop and all that, and so without the industrial trades and stuff like that, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. Matter of fact, it plays a big part in what I do, barbecuing and stuff. So, you know, those are great things, and I'm very, very much behind things like that, and I think that they need to get that stuff going a little bit more again. You know, public schools have taken so much of it out because of liabilities and stuff, and I guess, you know, I guess my take on it, you know, they talk about the liability and everything, and I think it kind of falls back to, you know, in ways, and I hate to say this, I might get shot, but, you know, even at home nowadays, you know, responsibility and learning common sense, you know. Someone asked me, you know, years ago about that right there, you know, about common sense, and, you know, and when they first asked me about it, I said, well, you know, you're born with it or you're not with it. And I kind of got talked to them, I kind of rethought it and got looking back, you know, growing up and stuff. And it is taught. It is a taught trait. And but you've got to have good people out there to teach you that. And, you know, and I say good people, I mean, it's just, they've got to take the time to teach that. And, you know, our world is so much different nowadays that we don't do a lot of that stuff with our kids and stuff like that. And it is lost. And so, you know, everybody's worried about cutting a finger off and, you know, on a saw or something like that. And so you don't have it. And so, you know, and I assume that's kind of where he was at with all of this stuff. Is that kind of correct?
I mean, this guy, I would have loved to have met him. I mean, a while back they did a big banquet, and Carolyn Wells come down from KCBS, and she knew him pretty well, and a bunch of guys that he went to college with and guys that he had worked for him and that he had worked with come up here and talk about him. I mean, this guy, he was a jack of all trades, you know. I mean, he's been around. And one of the things they told me is, you know, if you see a train going down the tracks, it's got his, you know, thermal controls on that train to keep that train from overheating. I mean, you know, it just wasn't just wasn't barbecue. Barbecue and how the barbecue gurus came about was a buddy of his asked him. He said, "Man, can you build something to control the temperature on my pit?" And there it went. I mean, just like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, got his mind
going. Yeah, I mean, and that's correct. I mean, there's a barbecue viewer on mine, and I use it. And, you know, I do a lot of energy management stuff, so I'm in a lot of that side of it and control some stuff. And I actually built one here, year and a half or so ago, and I got all the way to the part of trying to find some probes to use some of my building automation to do it. And that's the only problem I ever had was I couldn't find any control or sensors that would run in the ranges that we needed. And I could have them built and stuff, but, you know, that's kind of an expensive process there. And so I got to looking into the barbecue guru, and I was like, you know, I just saved myself a lot of time and trouble, and I'm going to put one on mine. And I love it. Matter of fact, it was texting me here just a minute ago. I turned my pit on, and, you know, it sent me a text message about every 20 or 30 minutes what's going on with it. So
you got that jam up cyber cues.
Yeah. you know, it's a great deal. I'll tell you what, we did a fajita dinner Friday night for, I don't know, 70, 80, 90 people. I don't know exactly how many was out there, quite a few. And I had a catering on Saturday morning, a brisket dinner for about another 85 people. And so as soon as I got those fajitas going Friday night, I need to have my briskets on. And because I had to be there about 11:30 or so for the other dinner. And so I plugged in the Guru and I threw on, I guess, 8 or 9 briskets I had, because I had a couple other people wanting briskets that weekend. And I plugged that thing in, and we had a big rainstorm. And I guarantee if it wouldn't have been for that Guru, Lance would have been in a little trouble come Saturday morning with all the rain and everything we had. So it'll dang sure take it. And, you know, I got home. Matter of fact, they kind of stayed out there where we were at. We were all cooking. And I got home about 7:30 that morning, and I cranked that thing up. I usually run it about 250, 275, and I fed it for about 310. And that bad boy kept that pit. It's just, I mean, between 300 and 320 the whole time. Throw a chunk of wood in there about every hour and a half, and it held it. And so it's a great, great product. So, no, that's exactly right. So, Kansas City, and so, man, you could have 100-plus teams at something like this down there.
Man, I'm hoping we will, because, you know, I mean, it's exciting for us for KCBS to be coming to our part of Texas, you know. And but it's also, man, this is for a genuinely good cause. You know, I mean, we're going to celebrate the life of Fred Perkle. We're going to raise some money and get some kids, you know, some education.
Absolutely.
And put them out there in the working world.
Yes, and that's what we need. We need more of that side of it, because we are lacking so much in that department nowadays. And, I mean, you know, like I said, I'm eating in the heating and air conditioning business, refrigeration and stuff. And, you know, so I deal with my hands still like that every day. And not near as much as I used to be, you know, as far as, you know, as much hands-on, but the problem is what you said. I mean, there's no one out there. There's no one out there to take the ball, run with it, or wants to run with it. And, you know, if you don't understand, I mean, you know, all they say is, you know, it is hard work. But, you know, you can make a good living, a honest living at it, and, you know, be able to do some other things. So, you know, the one thing about it is that, you know, heating and air conditioning and all that stuff is always going to be in demand. Unless we just, you know, we go off in this ice age that, you know, that they're talking about, and we just get really cold here pretty quick. You know, so.
Yeah.
So, no, that'd be great.
Oh, yeah.
And,
you know, to give, you know, a lot of the kids that are interested in the industrial art side, you know, or technology, you know, some of those kids that have got the mind for it, they might not have the money to go to school. You know, and this is going to kind of pay something forward to them and help them out to achieve their goals.
Yes, and I mean, and that's exactly right. And I mean, and I can understand that. I mean, because, you know, I went to a refrigeration trade school. As a matter of fact, I believe there was one in Houston when I went to school. I went to a school called UTI,
mm-hmm.
Universal Technical Institute.
I think there's still one down there.
And I think now all they have is automotive. It's been several years back. I went back to college, and I'll need my transcripts. And I believe that the air conditioning refrigeration program has gone away because they didn't have enough people getting into it. And, you know, what pushed me into it was that, you know, I said FFA and stuff, and, you know, I was in ag shop and all that, and they actually come in and, you know, spoke and you know, kind of gave the spill I gave, and you know, I said, well, I said, you know, I said, they'd be coming, so, you know, off to school I went, and, you know, they're a great school. You know, at one time, they were one of the, I think, the number one school in the United States at that time. They were in Phoenix, Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Houston, and I want to say maybe even Chicago. There was, I think, 3 campuses. And I think Houston and Phoenix were the 2 that had the refrigeration school. I may be wrong about that, but I believe that there were 2 of them that had it and just had lots of guys. And, You know, I've met a few of them over the years that kind of went through those schools and stuff like that. You know, and like I said, they make good living. And I think that'd be a great thing, and it needs to be pushed, and it needs to get more people back involved in that and get it out there. And, you know, like I said, I was one of those. I mean, I didn't have a lot of money in the world. You know, growing up, didn't have a lot of money. And so, you know, I was able to, you know, get some Pell Grants and stuff like that. And, you know, so, you know, every bit, a little bit of that helps because, you know, school's expensive. And it's just going to get more expensive. And so, you know, guys out there willing to kind of do those kind of things and to leave money around for that for people to better themselves, I just think it's a great thing. And, you know, like I said, and, you know, to be part of the barbecue world and, you know, everything else. I mean, trains, just what, you know, all the different things that goes on there. I mean, that's just awesome. So,
the organizers of this event, too, they're going to try to get some of the college kids involved in it, too, and get a couple college teams to come out there and compete with us. And, you know, there's a lot of kids, you know, that can cook, that they just don't have the opportunity or know how to put a team together. So we're gonna try to get some of them involved in it, and you know, and have a presence from Sam Houston State there also.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, and something else, and you know, might have to talk to Daryl about this a little bit, but you know, I cook a few Kansas City contests every year, and just to kind of stay up on, you know, competing, and mostly to practice my pork butt. You know, since us IBCA guys, stuff like that, you know, we don't really mess with that unless we're doing some Kansas City. So, you know, and that's generally kind of one of my first contests of the year is kind of in that date range. And so what I might try to do is I might try to plan on doing this. And what I was kind of thinking is maybe we could work it out right and talk to Daryl about it, Daryl Mass, and see we might be able to do maybe like a Friday night, the Friday night show down there and just kind of do like a little live broadcast and, you know, talk
to
everybody.
That'd be awesome.
And, you know, just kind of, you know, promote it a little bit more, get it out there, get some more people involved and throw it out there. And, you know, hell, I wouldn't mind coming down there doing it, cooking with you guys. And, you know, I don't get down that far very often. But, you know, this is far enough in advance that, you know, I might be able to plan something that out. And except Daryl and them are supposed to be here in August out here in West Texas. And so I might just talk to him about that and see if maybe we can get something like that going.
I'll tell you we'd be more than happy to have you and Barbecue Superstars come down here and help set up. As a matter of fact, that Friday night, they're trying to put together a Texas country concert and a big fish fry. And one of the organizers, he was actually come over to the house this afternoon, and they keep in touch with me pretty close about it. And he was telling me that they want to do that fish fry, and what they're aiming for is they'll have that big old fish fry, and the public's welcome to come to it, but they will pay. But the teams can come in there and drink and have some fish and some corn dodgers and whatnot and free of charge.
Okay. Well, I think maybe that's something we need to work on. Maybe we just kind of get that going. And like I said, I mean, you know, after driving all the way to Vegas on a weekend and couldn't come back. You know, Houston's not that far anymore.
Yes, sir. We're just, you know, we're just about, like I said, we're just a little over an hour north of Houston. So. And
where they're having the event at,
it ain't but like about a 15-minute drive from my house. So it's going to be darn near in my backyard.
Okay. Well, and I mean, and I don't know, I mean, have y'all set up anything maybe to be like, you know, part of the World Food Championship qualifier? And, you know, I think you guys are probably far up ahead.
Actually, right now we're working on trying to get it for a state championship.
Okay.
And we contacted the state rep. Well, we contacted the state representative's office, and the way they talk, they're not doing anything at I don't know what you'd call it at that level of government. They're only dealing with transportation issues and things of that nature until 2015. But so we're trying to find a loophole to get something done.
Well, we may be able to do something on that end of it too, because I can tell you this right now. You know, Plainview had a contest in May the 11th, I believe. It was Mother's Day weekend.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was kind of part, you know, kind of took a little bit of part in the committee and stuff. And one of the girls that was running it, you know, we were talking back and forth when she kind of got into it. And we talked on like a Sunday night the week before, you know, Friday night we were going to have the contest. And, you know, she was asking me about all the qualifications, you know, qualifying stuff. They had it sanctioned. And they were talking about, you know, what else could be done. And I said, you know, I said one of the big things, because they really didn't have a payout this year the way they had it set up. And so I said, you know, I said, one big pull. And I said, you know, it kind of makes a difference. A lot of people, just what you said, a state championship. And so she asked me, so, well, what do you have to do? And I said, well, I said, you know, I said, you have to kind of, you know, put something together on letterhead and blah, blah, blah. And you got a state representative or something, sign off on it. So she tells me Sunday night, she said, well, I'm going to work on that starting tomorrow. She calls me on Tuesday. She said, it's sitting on his desk, on the representative's desk. And don't see any problem with it. Think he's going to get it done. Like I said, this is in May. And by Thursday that afternoon, they had it signed by the representative. So what you need is you need, you know, one of your local representatives or, you know, somewhere in that area. They can take care of it.
Well, that's who we contacted was our state representative's office, and they're the ones that told us it's, you know, but it was actually a secretary, so I don't know.
Huh. Well, you know, and I don't know, all the legalities about it, but, you know, like I said, we've got some of those around here, you know, and like I said, I mean, we're a little rural West Texas, and when she pulled that off in about 4 days, I about died. I could not believe she'd done that, because, you know, they say at least 2 weeks, but, you know, I don't know if they had to be in that district or if it can just be a U.S. representative or just representative, period. I think King did it. And maybe I'll talk to them even out here, and maybe, you know, I don't know, not even be able to get something like that done, you know. If that's all we need is a signature and on your declaration or whatever, you know, hey, I mean, we've got 6, 7, 8 months to get someone maybe to pull on it. So I might check into that for you guys a little bit and just see what I can find out and see if it has to be in your local area or if there's somebody, you know, maybe even out here that, you know, might would be willing to step up to it. And there might be.
Well, I sure appreciate that.
So I will, matter of fact, I'll talk to Brandy Pierce. She's the one who got ours done. So she kind of learned the process pretty well. And just kind of see what I can find out for you guys, and we'll stay in touch on that too. And because you know, you get it as a state championship, and then you know it's like Midland this year. They had their first Kansas City Cook in West Texas. First year, Midland, Texas. I mean, we had guys all the way from San Antonio. Cervantes showed up. Old Robert Sierra, he come. Matter of fact, we had Doug Keeley's out of, I believe he's out of New Jersey, flew all the way in, rode out with Cervantes and them guys, come out and cooked with us. And I think that they had 59 or 60 teams at that one. So, you know, this is a sparse populated part of the country here. You know, there may be, maybe a million and a half in this entire area out here. So, you know, if you can pull something like that, I mean, where you guys are at, shouldn't be a problem at all, I wouldn't think. So,
I hope not. That world championship, you went and cooked in Vegas. How do you go about getting qualified for that? I mean, what is the stipulations on that?
I'm not sure, but like I said, I know guys that were involved in that deal too, and so I can sure find out for you on that end of it too. Because I know some of the promoters in Midland that got it done. And matter of fact, it's a man named Chris, and he was one of the promoters. Matter of fact, he's got a Collins Creek rug, and so mm-hmm. he's one of like S&S Pit Crew's sponsors and stuff. And so, but we can sure talk to him and see. I know they got that done pretty easily, too, I think. I don't think it was a big thing. So, you know, and that's kind of the beginning of the year. So, you know, you guys are far enough out in advance, I think, that there's, you know, several things you guys could probably get done on this to where, you know, some people sometimes, you know,
some people
in the last 30 days.
Well, you know, some people are kind of like, you know, man, y'all are planning a little far ahead, ain't you? Well, you know, it don't take long for a few months to go by, you know, especially when you're trying to put something together.
Well, and if you want to put a big event together, I mean, because, you know, of course, I've heard something this year, and I feel not sure. Somebody said that the San Antonio Livestock Show is in September this year.
I haven't heard anything about that.
Well, there's been a few people post this, and, you know, and I'm just kind of following this because, I mean, that's kind of strange. I thought, well, maybe they're opening it up, you know, to register, because I think last year was October, November before you could actually go in and register. Because usually the livestock show would be maybe the week before where you guys are going to be, I kind of think.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, there's that, and then... When's Houston's livestock show?
It's going to be the same weekend as ours, and
that's what I thought.
We've had a few people, you know. Oh man, that's Houston livestock show, you know. But man, unless a team dies, there ain't gonna be no new teams there this year.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, you'll have a few qualifiers and stuff like that, but you know, on the other side of that is too is that. You're going to have all them people in there, too. And, you know, not being all that far from that area, you know, you may get some overflow out of that, too.
Yeah, that's what we're hoping for, too, you know.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't think that's such a bad thing. So, yeah, I guess San Antonio is the last weekend of January. So, it'll be about a month before you guys.
Yeah.
I guess, right. You know, they all run together anymore, man. There's so much going on anymore. And, you know, and see, and like I said, that kind of works out for me, too. So I was kind of looking for a different venue this year for my first contest. Like I said, I do a lot of IBCA, but we've been kind of going down south. And the panhandle part of Texas has put together, you know, we have the Panhandle Pits, what it's called. IBCA has different chapters within the organization. And so there used to be a contest down in San Angelo that was part of the Panhandle part of it. Well, it's branched off now, and it's a different region, a different pit. And so the last couple of years I've been kind of chasing points. And so... You know, there's not much going on up in our part of the world that time of the year, so we usually kind of started out south. So with that changing, you know, I don't have really anything to gain as far as points out of there. So, you know, I wouldn't mind doing a Kansas City Cookout early. The other side of that is, too, is that, you know, Sands Club, if they do their deal like they do every year, you know, this would be a good little cook to get a little practice in before you're going to go to a Sands Club challenge. So... I kind of like this idea. And you're far enough south, it shouldn't be too cold. Maybe it won't snow on us. So.
wasn't too bad around here in March this year, but you know, like we say down here in our part of Texas, if you don't like the weather, wait a minute.
Yeah, well, that's the way it is out here, buddy. I mean, you know, give us 5-10 minutes, and I guarantee you we can usually fix that for you. And you might still not like it, but it can make sure to be different. Well, that's great. When can teams start registering and all that in for it?
We are waiting to hear back from KCBS. We got the paperwork turned in this week, and I'm assuming that as soon as we hear back from them that it has been approved and put on their schedule, that they're going to get the applications ready. I think that's the only thing they're holding off on, is they won't have the paperwork in their hand that says, yes, it is KCBS.
Okay.
And, I don't see any issues with it not being sanctioned. You know, Carolyn Wells already come down here for a banquet that we had and everything else, and she's very excited about it.
Really? Well, that's great. That's great.
And it opens up a whole other territory to them, you know. I mean, you'd be surprised at how many teams are right here in this area.
Well, no, I mean, that's exactly right. I mean, I watch it when you guys have I believe it's Gulf Coast. Y'all have a lot of cooks down that way. Isn't that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
And, you know, man, I mean, you see it all the time. I mean, you know, you guys will have a 60 to 100 teams. I mean, you guys are kind of like West Texas in a lot of aspects because, you know, it's kind of the same way. It's like someone here's a contest, and like this year, you know, bam, you know, you got 40 to 100 teams showing up to it. So, and you guys are a lot densely, you know, densely populated. So there are a lot of teams down there. And you guys are what? How far are you from San Antonio?
From San Antonio, it's about a 3.5-hour drive.
Okay. Well, so 3.5 hours. I'm saying I'm 8. Yeah, so they had about 11-hour trip for me. So that's about like going to Vegas. Yeah, maybe a little shorter than Vegas, but I imagine we'll go over to Dallas. It's 5.5. How far are you from Dallas?
It's just a little under 3 hours from Dallas.
Okay, so I'm looking about 8 to 9 hours. Yeah, so I'm about 8 to 9 hours. So actually, it is closer than Vegas. So, because I think it's about 5.5 hours for us to get to like Grand Prairie, essentially, which would be past 35 there. And you know, I kind of start considering that, you know, getting into East Texas over there at that point. So. So, I mean, you know, it wouldn't be bad. I mean, you know, it'd be one of those days, you know, if we left on Thursday night or early Friday morning, you know, we'd roll in down there. And like I said, we maybe do a little show. And hell, I'd like to do that. I mean, that would be fun. You know, hell, even worst case scenario, we sucker some of them other boys into coming in. And, you know, man, if we get, you know, old Chadwick or Chad Ward, one of them guys come up, or even Daryl or something like that. You may even talk Daryl into coming up and doing some video. You know, he's doing a lot of this live stuff now, and kind of branch it out a little bit. And we just have to talk about it and see what I can get done. Like I said, and they're going to be here in August, so. I guess we're down to about a little over a month they're going to be out here. I can't believe it's already going to be up, you know. You got July, essentially, and here we are. So, so what else is going on? Any other exciting news down in that part of the world? You been doing any competing or anything?
Oh, no, sir. I hadn't had no chance. I hadn't competed since last weekend in April. And I got one I'm going to try to hit. This upcoming weekend, and got a sneak past the most lady.
Yeah, I've done that. You know, where I've kind of gone is, and because I have, I've drugged my family all over the world. or all over this country, I should say. And, you know, for the most part, they've been pretty perceptive to it. You know, when you do those for 4 or 5 weekends in a row, they start to look at you a little differently. And, you know, so you say, well, okay, I'll tell you what, I'll go do this for myself. I'll take one for the team.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's rough.
I don't get to compete near as often as I'd like to. You know, we got 5 kids, and so things get tight here and there. But I try to do at least one every other month, and I managed to sneak 2 in April. So that was a pretty good month there.
Well, and that's kind of us. I mean, you know, for all practical purposes, normally we're 2 a month, you know, and then this time of year it kind of slows down a little bit till August. And, you know, right now I'm in the process of, you know, trying to get my fall schedule. And, of course, you know, this fall this year, you know, we've got the American Roll we qualified for. So I'm trying to do the best I can to go cook for it. And then we have, it's shaping up right now, I've got 2 cook-offs in August. One in September, maybe 2. They're going to have that, Blues Festival over in the Dallas area. I don't think of the name of it. It's always kind of big.
Bedford,
there you go. Yes, sir, Bedford. And so I was kind of looking at it, but to be honest with you, I don't know. If we do if we go to the American Royal, my other contest in October would be Grand Prix, the IBCA Invitational, which we qualified for this year. And then, you know, there's always Meridian, too. And we've qualified for all 3 of those events for the invitation part of it. And, you know, so I'm sitting there thinking, you know, October could be nasty like last year, where we were on the road for 4 or 5 weeks. And so, you know, I may kind of lay low in September a little bit. I may do the one and call that good come out of the gate swinging again in October. And, you know, and then we got some friends over in Kroll, Texas. They have the World Championship Wild Hog Contest. And it's like the first weekend of November. And so we'll probably try to cook it again this year. We enjoyed it and got my butt whipped over there last year. I think we got a 3rd in hog, and that was about it. And you know, we had teams all the way from Dallas, you know, come out there and cook that one. And so we had some really good teams, some really tough teams. You know, there was, I think, about 35, 40 of us out there. And, you know, by then, after that, it kind of gets a little cold around here to be sitting out all night watching a fire, you know. Not saying that I wouldn't do it, just that, you know, they kind of shut the contest down around here, so I don't see many of them. So we'll kind of go into a lull probably until we get this worked out for y'all's contest. That could be my first contest in 14. So
we'll be more than happy to have you, man.
I don't know about going down there kicking with that level of competition, man. But like I said, I'd love to come down and cook with you boys and meet all y'all. And I imagine there's some of them I've cooked with already, but hell, we have a good time. And I throw a little West Texas flair down there.
That's going to be a learning experience for me. I'm used to them half chickens and having to put everything in the box a certain specific way, you know, at KCBS, looks like they give you a little leeway for some creativity.
They do. You know, and I'll tell you this right here. I mean, you know, I've done several now. And, you know, the first Kansas City cook I ever did was a Sand Club Challenge. And it was against people like S&S Pit Crew, Pitmaker, the Ritters, the Wades, Joe's Cook Shack, Hogtied out of Alabama. I mean, just some damn good teams. And, you know, we were a couple of West Texas boys that, you know, it took, you know, four or five IBCA contests and we jumped in the pool there. Really didn't have any clue what the hell we were doing, but we said, well, hell, let's go do it. We were going down, we've got a place at Lake Brownwood that my in-laws have, and so we always spend, you know, Memorial Weekend down there. Well, that contest was Memorial Weekend, so we had a long weekend. And Brownwood's only about 100 miles from where the contest was at. So, you know, it kind of worked out good. So we went down there a day early. And my wife's brother and one of her cousins, we jumped in the truck Friday morning, and we took off down there. And, you know, we'd never thrown lettuce or anything into a tray, never had practiced that aspect of it. Matter of fact, we didn't take any with us. And I got down there, and there was a store called Sprouts something. I kind of ran in there, and I found some green leaf lettuce. I thought, what the hell? So we kind of threw that stuff in there. And, you know, we didn't come in last in anything. And, matter of fact, we had a seventh-place walk in ribs that day against all those guys up there, and I thought, well, hell, this ain't so bad. Now, chicken? If you're going to practice something, chicken would be the thing to practice because that is a whole different world. And I think the best I've ever gotten out of one is 12th to 13th. And it's kind of a mystery to me.
And, that's so, with my two in IBCA, you know, and Gulf Coast. I just ain't got that magic mixture yet.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a different thing. And, I mean, you know, I will say this. If I was going to cook chicken in Kansas City, there is one product out there that I would use, and I use it. Great guy, Michael McDermott. And he's got a thing called a chicken changer. And it's a piece of cast iron kind of rolled into a U. And you can put it on a grill. I get my grill up to about 350 to 400 degrees. You can smoke your chicken or, you know, whatever your regular process is, do your process. And then Chad Ward, I think he runs his chicken for about 90 seconds. The way I was doing mine, I was running it for about 60 seconds. But you take it and you put that thigh in there, and it's got a, like I said, kind of a U, and you put it skin down, and then it's got a little, like a pressure plate that you put on top of it. And you sear them for, you know, 60 to 90 seconds, and it'll kind of crisp up the skin. Mm-hmm. And then when you take that out of there, then, you know, putting a layer of rub on, you know, get that caramelized. So you may want to do it, you know, 45 minutes before, you know, turn in. Get that on there and get your sauce back on and stuff like that so it don't burn. And it works good, and it will give you a bite-through skin. And, it's a great product. I've used it, I guess I used it in three Kansas City contests already this year. It will be with me at the American Royal this year, and I will be using it. So,
I've actually got a couple of them. I just haven't had to play with them yet.
Well, there you go. You got plenty of time to play now. They're really good. I really like them. And, you know, Michael and I've talked.
I was going to say, do you have to season them or anything?
I use kind of an old lard, kind of like you used to do old cast iron. Now, what Michael will tell you is, and it probably works just fine, I didn't do it on mine, but they use a flaxseed oil. And season it like you'd season cast iron. You know, get it up, you know, in an oven or, you know, wherever, up to about, you know, I think 350. And, mm-hmm. you know, kind of rub it down, you know, clean it up, rub it down. Make sure you ain't got any rust or anything on it. Flaxseed oil or, you know, just some, you know, Crisco makes a lard.
Mm-hmm.
For all practical purposes, I think it's vegetable based, but that's what I use, and that's how I season all my cast iron. That's how I've cooked, because I've cooked cast iron for years. Matter of fact, since I was probably, I grew up with it, and probably since I was probably about 10 years old, I've been actually cooking on cast iron. So that's how I do it, and it works well. And, you know, then just kind of knock it off and, you know, just kind of oil it back up when you're done, and you'll be in good shape. And,
well, I'm going to have to season them things up this week and break them in next weekend.
Well, like I said, they work well. And, you know, of course, you know, you've got to kind of figure out your own process. I mean, because you've got your process that you're going to do. And what I say to you is, you know, however you, even if you're doing a half chicken, I mean, you know, that's how I started out too. And so I had my process for half chicken. And so I kind of went through my whole process of my half chicken. And then at the end of it, of my process, you know, the last 30, 45 minutes, I used the chicken changer. And then, you know, I finish, I'll put a layer of rub on it, caramelize it, and then I'll sauce. And just to get my sauce kind of caramelized on it. Some guys may be a little different about that, but that's, I say sauce, I guess that'd be, you know, technically, quote unquote, my glaze. And which is just me saucing, but you do that there, and you know, my suggestion is, if you pull your chicken, it I've been pulling it about 158.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do kind of a real fast sear on it. I mean, you know, 60 seconds, 90 seconds. You're not gonna do a whole heck of a lot to that temp. You know, you're going to kind of crisp the outside of it. And then, you know, you don't have to have a lot of heat to get, you know, it caramelized or, you know. So, you know, depending on your process, you may go, you know, I don't know. Do you grill your half chickens or do you smoke them?
No, so I grill them. I've tried to smoke them and wasn't getting anywhere. Started grilling them and started getting a walk here and there.
See, and that's kind of a funny deal when we were talking about this the other day. You know, I get down south of I-20, it's a whole different story because I smoke chickens. You know, so I'm one of them three and a half hour cooks on chicken. And up here, that works real well. I go down south, it don't work so well. And so, you know, that's one thing I've been trying to figure out. And, well, matter of fact, Monty Brown kind of finally alluded to it. It's like, well, you know, we're doing more grilling down here. And I was like, kind of figured you guys were, but, and there's lots of guys up here that grill, but I can say this, you know, usually up here, I can get away with the smoking them and do better up in this part of the world. And then you go a little further east, it kind of changes a little bit, so... you know, I even did a deal one time where I smoked them for a few hours, and in the last, you know, 30 minutes, I grilled them. And I was shocked that once you put them on the grill and you grilled it, you'd never known that I'd smoked them. Oh. It took all the smoke out of them. And I had a whole completely different profile, and I thought, wow, that is, you know, that's pretty amazing how much the grilling has an effect to it. So you're probably cooking a half chicken in an hour, hour and a half?
Yes, just about an hour and 15 minutes is what it's been averaging.
Okay. So yeah, I mean, you know, of course, thigh, you know, at those temperatures, you can cook it a little faster than that, too. So,
yeah.
You know, you will see a little bit more in Kansas City stuff, butter bath type stuff. There's a few more guys that do that kind of end of it. You know, I don't know. I mean, that's it'd be kind of interesting, you know, to be down that far and to kind of see what it does and where it goes because, like I said, you're gonna have a lot of Texas, you know, cookers around there, and you know, it's gonna change it a little bit. You know, it's not gonna be, you know, quote unquote, you know, all the just true Kansas City cooks. You know, because you'll probably have Trigg. He'll probably be at Houston. You know, we'll have to see who we can pull in. There's some other pretty good-sized teams and stuff there. You know, I don't know. You guys might be able to pull in someone like Moyers and some of them guys, you know. Moyer, Jeremy, and I maybe want to talk to you too. And I know him, and see, I cook with his brother out here. His brother lives about 40 minutes from me. And, you know, and that'd be kind of about halfway for them two boys. I'm not sure that I want them there. It might be hard to beat. Because his brother down here is a daggum good cook, too. He don't cook much, but when he does, you got to really watch his butt. And, you know, Jeremy's been on a pretty hot streak this year. So, you know, you can pull in some teams like that. Man, you could have a hell of a contest going.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping we do pull some big teams and stuff like that. You know, and, you know, with it being our first year and everything, and that way, you know, when we do the second year event, you know, maybe it'll tempt some more people to come on down.
Right.
And also, what we're hoping is with it being an inaugural event, too, you know, you're going to have some guys that are going to show up just so that you can have maybe that one.
You what now? I didn't hear you. Sorry.
I'm sorry. I was saying, you know, we're hoping to get, you know, you're going to have some guys that want the bragging rights. So, hey, I won the first cook-off they had for that Shotgun Thread barbecue showdown.
Okay. And I said, you know, I heard something about that. You know, I try to follow everything going on around here, and sometimes that's tough. When was that one? That was this year, wasn't it?
No, that's the one we're going to have.
Oh, the one. Okay. Okay.
That's what I'm saying. I'm hoping we're going to get some guys that are going to, you know, they're going to come, you know, because it's the first year event. And,
there you go. Well, you broke up just a little bit there for a second. I was trying to.
We get crappy reception in our house, and I might have to go out on the porch in a minute.
Well, that's what I normally do is I go outside. Like I said, I'm out here sweating right now. Unfortunately, and but you know, I'm kind of coming out here and not getting in trouble with the wife and you know, that end of it, and you know, go from there. And I've kind of been having some problems with the board tonight. I'm starting to wonder. I've been running Firefox here lately, and maybe I'm thinking about it every other time, not responding. So I don't know if we have anybody else in there or not. You might get stuck tonight, buddy. You might be. You and I. So, but you're past it now, so it's not a big deal. It's not that bad, is it?
Nah.
So, no, that'd really be great. We get a, you know, get a bunch of guys down there, and we can have a good time. And man, I kind of look forward to doing that. I'm sure I could probably talk my daughter and wife into that. We talked about, you know, San Antonio stuff last year. And what have y'all, entry fees-wise, has any of that been said or anything?
We've discussed it, and you know, I ain't going to make any promises or nothing, but I'm thinking it's going to be around $175.
Okay. Hey, even better. You know, a lot of Kansas City cooks are, you know, usually 2.5. And so, you know, that, I mean...
We're kind of based off what the average cook-off is around here. And, you know, sometimes they have a few cook-offs around here that they want a $200 entry fee.
Right.
And it scares some teams off. You know, I mean, you'd be surprised at how many guys will walk off over $25, you know.
Well, and it is. I mean, but, you know, you start looking at those, and I'll say this. I mean, you know, sometimes, you know, it's teams like me that's doing a lot of competing. And, you know, you start looking at that, and, I mean, you know, and every $25 adds up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you're doing 18, 20 contests a year, you know, that can be a pretty good little chunk of change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
I mean
you got,
if you have 25 teams walk off over $25, that's quite a bit of money you're losing.
Absolutely. Well, and, you know, and that's part of the deal. I mean, it seemed kind of like the Meridian deal. I think that's what kind of lost a little bit of its spunk down there last year. It's, you know, one of the big things that's going on right now is that it's a $200 entry fee. But it's only a 50% payout.
Yeah.
So, you know, essentially, I think last year they had $20,000 everybody paid in, something like that. And, you know, there was only $10,000. Well, you know, heck, I've had, in this area alone right here this year, I've had four contests that paid out $10,000 within a 200-mile radius. And, you know, some of them contests are $100 to $125 a contest. So, you know, that's what people get to looking at. They start looking at it like, well, hey, you know, that's got a big, big payout. I'm not, I don't have as much invested. And so, you know, you kind of get there. And, you know, like I said, I mean, everybody's about it. I mean, you know. We all love to compete and all that, but, you know, it all does come down to, you know, how much, and just what you said. I mean, with kids and everything else, I mean, there's only so much money in the kitty. And, you know, so, you know, if I can go do one that's $100 or $125, you got a $10,000 payout, or I can go spend $200 for a $10,000 payout, well, I'm probably going to go to the $125.
Yes,
sir. That's exactly right. So, you know, that's I'm glad y'all are doing that because, I mean, you know, I think that you could bring in, you know, well, I mean, if you bring in 100 teams, it's what, 17.5?
Yes, sir.
So, that's not a bad day.
Not
a bad day.
Yeah, especially around here.
You know? You know, IBCA probably still has one of the best paying contests, you know, all years at the Grand Prairie and Traders. And, you know, last year with all the added money and everything, they paid out like $26,000, $27,000. And I think it was $100 to enter. And of course, I think it was the Invitational, if I remember right. Yeah, the Invitational the first day and then the Open the next day. And I think the Invitational, I don't think we didn't pay anything for the Invitational. And then the Open, I think it was $100 we paid. And like I said, I mean, at a pot at about $26,000. You know, that's pretty hard to beat.
Yeah, it was real hard to beat.
You know, and, you know, that's what I'm saying. I mean, that one's kind of still on my map. But even like the American Royal, I've got all my stuff done over there, and I think send it off. The Invitational is free. If I just want to cook the invitation on a Saturday, I got to give them, I think, a $50 deposit, okay? And then if I want to do the Open the next day, then I think it's $250. So, essentially, for $250, I'm cooking two different contests in a weekend.
Double your chances.
Absolutely. And, you know, invitation, you're going to have probably about 100, and I think last year they had right at 155, 160 teams. And then, of course, the Open, you know, I think last year was 115 or 515 teams. So, you know, that's kind of a crapshoot. But, you know, the invitational part of it, you know, that's essentially Meridian, you know. So, with more dollars. So, and then, like I said, you know, just what you said, I mean, you got two chances to win. So, I mean, you know, technically you've got eight chances to walk in a weekend. And that's not counting. They've got some side stuff there, too, that, you know, if you want to cook potato salad, and I don't know, there's some other categories, too, you know, but just
that's sauce contest.
Just if you want to cook. Yeah, I mean, so, you know, hell, I mean, that's really a pretty damn good deal. Because, you know, I've been paying $250 for every Santa Club contest. And I was in two of those this year, and then I was in Midland, that was another $250. So, you know, there's $750 right there in a month and a half that I spent at cook-offs just for those. And that wasn't counting. Starting March 1st this year, I see I did one, two, three, four, five. I think I did six contests in March and April. I mean, so I done some change and drove all the way to Vegas.
I was saying, burning some fuel, too.
Yes, sir. I burned some fuel. I was getting about 11 miles a gallon pulling my trailer. Of course, we hammered down, and, you know, we left Plainview, Texas. Well, actually, Amarillo, technically. I left there at 6 o'clock on Thursday night, and it's 940 miles to Las Vegas, Nevada, and I pulled in there at 9:30 the next morning.
Man, that's doing pretty good, man. You're keeping the door shut when you get there that quick.
And we even got a couple hours nap. So, you know, what can I say? I mean, yeah, we hammered down, but, you know, and like I said, I mean, just like you talked about, industrial arts, I mean, I built my trailer in my front yard in about 2.5 weekends a few years ago. And, you know, so, you know, I weld pretty good and all that stuff. I've done a lot of welding over the years. But, you know, it's one thing when you're, you know, dragging it over here, you know, 30 or 40 miles. It's nothing when you drag that thing 1,000 miles each way in a weekend. I dragged it right at 250 miles or 2,050 miles in a weekend, and not a weld broke. It may not be the prettiest thing out there on the road, but by golly, at 75 and 80 miles an hour, it held together.
It ain't pretty, but it's well built.
So, you know, and I mean, you know, it's made some money. So, you know, what can I say? I'll take it. And like I said, you know, once again, you know, if it wasn't for industrial arts and stuff like that, I wouldn't have had all of that. So, you know, I think, you know, what you guys are going to do, I mean, I think that's a great thing. And I think that needs to be pushed more and more and more. You know, Chadwick's a lot like that, too. I mean, he's kind of the same way. I mean, he's a very hands-on guy. You know, him and I have a lot of that kind of stuff in common. And, you know, he built, you know, his own pit and all that, too. And I think, you know, kind of same thing with him. I think he kind of grew up in that end of it. And, you know, that was some of the good days. I mean, how about you? What kind of pit and stuff do you cook on?
I use an old offset that my dad and one of his friends built when I was a teenager. And I'm still cooking on it. And then my pork, I cook it on a 55-gallon drum. Nothing special that we use. We just been using it a lot and know how to work with it.
Well, and that's it. I mean, you know, they don't have to be pretty. They don't have to be expensive. But, you know, if you can get them to where they'll run a temperature and you know how to cook on it, hell, that's all you need. And, I mean, you know, I go up against lots of big pits. You know, I've cooked against Jambos. I've cooked against Gators. I've cooked against all of them. They're great pits, beautiful pits. R&O's, hell, I mean, it's so much they're fancy, they're nice, and I mean, I'd love to have, you know, but I pull up with my old 1959 model propane tank that I converted, and I'll compete with them old boys, and I'll kind of hang with them, and so you know, it's not everything about the pit, you know, it's the cook's got to know a little bit of something too. And so, you know, like I said, don't get me wrong, I'd love to have one. If someone called me today and said, hey, I'd love to throw one of these in your driveway, I'd say, bring it on. I'll cook on it every day. So, but, you know, I have a lot of pride in being able to come out in my front yard and you know, buy some raw steel and cut it up and you know, build it. I built a 15-foot trailer. And, you know, I get lots of stuff about it because I have running hot water. I have a music system on it. You know, I have the Guru on it. And, you know, so it's pretty functional. And, oh, yeah. You know, I could throw up a tarp and a take a garden hose, and I could even have a shower if I wanted it, and with hot water. So, you know, heck, like I said, it may not be the prettiest thing out there, but, you know, I'll roll into places, and even like this weekend catering stuff, you know, everybody's out there like, man, you know, you got hot water out here? Well, absolutely. And, you know, had a little music going. I mean, it's just great. I mean, uh-huh. I could live on this thing. I could throw a cot in the middle of it, and I'd be good to go. So, you know, that's what America needs. That's what we need to get back to. We need to be able to get back to where, you know, we can do those kind of things. And, you know, look at all the industry that we've lost overseas and stuff because we're not doing these things anymore. You know, we used to be number one and all this stuff, and we're not number one anymore. You know, because, you know, it's not promoted. It's not talked about. You know, I think of industrial trades as a, in a lot of ways, you know, as a, you know, something terrible, you know. Even I've actually got to get a little dirt on my hands or, you know. And, I mean, of course, there's other facets of that, but, I mean, you know, there's the architecture side of it and the blueprinting and everything else that you can get into on that, right. The drafting. But, you know, people nowadays, you know, what did everybody say? And, you know, your father may have said the same thing. I mean, you know, my parents have said the same. Well, you know, go to school, learn something, and, you know, go be a damn doctor or something, you know, and it ruined some of this because, you know, everybody wanted, you know, their kids, you know, to have a better life, be able to do something better. But what does it all come down to? If you don't have guys out there that can weld or that can draft or, you know, all the other different facets, I mean, even computer technology would, in a lot of ways, you know, go into this. I mean, just, you know, what you're talking about with temperatures and all that other stuff. I mean, there's a level of computers and stuff that goes into this. If you didn't have all those people, how then wouldn't anything have out here?
Right.
So, you know, that needs to be invested in. And I think, actually, you guys actually even had a pretty good, Sam Houston even had a pretty good football team, if I remember correctly.
Yes, they've been doing pretty good for a while now.
Yeah. I think they went Texas Tech's ass over here at one of our schools.
<You're gonna laughs>
we didn't like it too well, but you know, Division II school and you know,
we've
you guys kind of
a championship 2 years in a row so far. We ain't won it yet, but we've been there.
Well, I was gonna say, I mean, you guys were, it was kind of an upset out here for us West Texas people. Like, oh, damn. What just happened? That wasn't supposed to happen. I think that was under old Tuberville, or Stuberville, I should say. You know, he's gone now. And, you know, we had Mike Leach out here for several years. And I don't know if you ever watched any Tech ball or anything. But I think Mike was actually, I think he was a lawyer. He was one of the driest son of a guns you'd ever hear on. I mean, he'd talk on the news here, and he was just kind of dry. You know, well, you know, this is what we're going to do. This is what we've done. And, you know, if you don't like it, well, you know, tough. You know, I mean, just, you know. But, you know, had a, was a very smart guy, and was great with football. Never even coached football, didn't play football or any of that, my understanding. Just decided that, you know, he looked at the stats of the side of it and said, well, hell, I'll just coach football. And, you know, next thing you know, he's out of Tech coaching football, and hell, he's winning. And, but, you know, he had some unconventional ways about some things, and, I mean, you know, he punished guys. You know, if they were screwing up doing something, I mean, he was kind of, he probably, you know, back in my day, it was probably a normal practice. But nowadays, you know, it's considered cruelty. You know,
yeah.
Well, don't do that to my son. And it's kind of what happened. I mean, and, you know, he got canned over it. And they brought in old Tuberville. And Tuberville didn't do much at all around here. And I don't think he really had a lot of support. And he just, you know, he just didn't know how to, you know, how to play Texas ball. And so, you know, he's back east somewhere now, and that's probably where he needs to belong. And, you know, there you go. But, yeah, I believe you guys, I think we played you guys, I think it was 2 years ago, I think. And I think y'all put kind of an ass-whooping on us. And everybody was sitting there like, where the hell did they come from? So.
Hollywood.
Yeah. There you go. So, I mean, there you go, too. I mean, hell, you boys can't even play a little ball. So.
Yeah, that's a big thing over here that, boy, they love to tailgate the Bearcat games.
Yeah. You know, I like that kind of stuff, and, you know, and this kind of deal here, you know, Daryl Mass, you know, asked here a while back, you know, about, you know, tailgating and stuff like that. And I'd love to tailgate down here at Tech and stuff. And as a matter of fact, he even set up he's even got me on a website for Tech. And, you know, I'd love to do it, but, you know, we got to where, you know, I forget it's like $1,500 to get in there down there to tailgate now.
Ooh.
And, yeah, you know, it becomes corporate America and stuff like that, and you get those people, and, I mean, if you ain't got the backing, then, you know, here you are. I mean, you know, I don't have $1,500 to spend to go down there and tailgate. And so I'm kind of hoping this year, you know, maybe some of that might open up, too, and you know, give us an opportunity to go down there and do a little bit of that, because I'd love to go down there and cook with them guys, and we'd have a good damn time. I mean, so, you know, I like to watch a little bit of football. I'm not near as probably – much into that. I was always a participant in anything that I do. I have a hard time sitting on the sidelines and watching it.
Uh-huh.
I just seem to be in there mixing it up with them. But, you know, when you get into your 40s and stuff like that, you know, that's not too inducive to your body anymore to be doing things like that. We played some volleyball last fall, and I guess it was Labor Day weekend. And, you know, ball dropped low, and I'd take a dive. And, I mean, we're out there and get old West Texas hard dirt. And I took about 3 or 4 hits into the ground that day trying to get, you know, try to save it, because, I mean, I believe in going all the way. And I was really glad that we were off on Monday, because I was so daggum stoved up. And so daggum sore afterwards. I didn't know I was going to make it work. And my wife's like, well, why were you doing that? I'm like, it's just a reaction. I don't think about it. There's a ball. I'm going for it. Now, when I bounce off the dirt a little bit, like, oh, that hurt. Oh, that was stupid. What'd you do that for? But, you know, it's no different than cooking or whatever you're into. I mean, if you want to be competitive and you want to do well, then you got to go all in. If you don't, then, you know, to me, you might have some success and stuff like that, but I still think that, you know, it's like anything else. You get out of it what you put into it.
Drives my wife crazy sometimes because of the amount of time I spend reading and cooking and things like that. And like, that's all you do is barbecue, barbecue, barbecue. And, you know, and I try to explain to her, well, nobody wants to go to a competition and get their ass handed to them.
Absolutely not. It happens, but we damn sure don't want it. And, I mean, we've all been there, and, I mean, yeah, it sucks. I mean, you know, I've never come in dead last anything in a barbecue yet. You know, not saying it won't happen. It's, you know, that day's going to come. I just kind of got closer, you know. I barely squeaked out on ribs because they did not like Texas ribs over there, I can tell you that. I mean, hell, Johnny Triggs' ribs went like 16th. A man that knows how to cook ribs. And I was like, damn, they don't like us. I mean, there was, I think, 4 of us that were Texas cooks. The 16th was the highest any of us got. And that's the way it is around our place. I mean, we talk barbecue every damn day. My wife probably don't like it as much, but, you know, matter of fact, she'd probably do without it. But we talk about it. We live it. I mean, you know, she was helping me. God bless her soul yesterday. You know, she had some other stuff to do. And we're blowing and going. And we, like I said, we had a lot of rain. And, man, my briskets just hung up. And they just stalled. And, I mean, I had them wrapped. And you know, I'm sitting there at the 180-degree mark. And I'm like, okay, come on. 15 degrees, and I had, you know, a couple hours still, and they're just sitting there. I mean, so I'm cranking up the Guru. Okay, I'm going to cook it out of you yet. And, I mean, that damn thing took me all the way up to about 15 minutes of when I needed to be there. And, you know, I started to panic, and, you know, we were cooking. I cooked 8 cobblers, over 20 pounds of potato salad, and over 10 pounds of beans, and, you know, I think we had 6 or 7 briskets just for them. And, you know, it was a bust-your-ass kind of morning, you know.
Yeah.
And she was fixing to leave. So she's home. She's like, hey, you know, what I need to do is like, I think we got it now. And we'll go from here. And, you know, she's counting down the minutes like, well, you know, it's this time. I thought, I'm going. And, you know, we get there. And, you know, thank goodness it was one of those days that, you know, I just had to set it up and they were feeding themselves. So I got it in there, got it set up, and I didn't have to go back till about 2 o'clock. Of course, I still had stuff out for the Ducks Unlimited stuff. I had stuff out there I had to go back and gather up. And then, like I said, I had 2 more briskets on, 2 or 3 more briskets on for people. And matter of fact, I even delivered those yesterday. And then went back, picked up stuff there, and then went up and picked up all the other stuff. And then I got home, and I was like, I can relax a little bit, and I'm looking at the mess. And I'm like, damn, I'm going to clean up. And so I got to clean it up, and then, you know, I usually cut the points off of the briskets. You know, I do whole pack of briskets, and I cut the points off.
Mm-hmm.
And I had quite a few of them yesterday. And so a lot of times I'll take them, I'll run through a grinder and just make chop beef out of them.
Oh, yeah.
And I was kind of shocked. I had I looked at that. I still had those on a smoker just staying warm. Had pit down to about 150 degrees, so they were just kind of staying warm, wrapped. And I got them out, started cutting them up, trimming them up a little bit, cut them up, ground them all, and I had 16 pounds of chopped beef when I was done. And I was like, it was about 6 o'clock by then. I was like, I'm really ready for this day to be over with. So, it was like, man. And matter of fact, I think the girls, they got home about 8:30 or so, and I was on the couch. I was sleeping. And I woke up about 10:30, 11 o'clock, and they're like, oh, he decided to join the world. And I was like, that's the first sleep I really had, and I don't know when.
Yeah.
You know? Because, I packed a bunch of stuff on Thursday night for the fajita cook-off, or for the fajita dinner. I think I went to bed at 3 o'clock, and then I got up about 6, because I went to work and worked all day Friday. And as soon as I got off from work, I ran out there, and I cooked for that supper. But like I said, then I had to start this other deal. And so, you know, it was just kind of assholes and elbows there for, man, a good while. You know, and every time I turned around, there was something. So there was always something going on. See, I'm trying to bring old Ken in here, and he keeps throwing his kid thing at me here. He said, I'm gonna call him out now. He said, I would, but his little ones are pretty noisy. I don't know if you would be able to hear me. Well, I bet we could hear him. What do you think, Stacy?
Yeah, I imagine.
You know, I think he's a. I'm starting to think he's a little shy on coming on the air with me.
And, yeah.
Maybe you need to tell Kent. Maybe he needs to call in. I think he did a little cooking too this weekend. And you know, maybe kind of see what he done.
Yeah, he needs to call in and let us know about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think you need to talk a little bit about it, and you know. I didn't get to, like I said, I've done all that. There was two contests within 150 miles of me this weekend, a state championship and everything else. And I'm too good at catering. And I tried for about 2 weeks. I tried to figure out how in the hell I could pull it off and do them both. Do the two caterings and cook two. And I told my brother, I said, man, so if I had one more pet, and I said, I'd just send you down to get it going.
It's so tempting down here sometimes, man, because, I mean, on any weekend, there's two, sometimes three cook-offs within an hour of here. You know, man, just sit there looking at them event calendars on the websites, just itching. Sometimes it's hard for me to get away, you know, with all the kids. And I manage a wastewater treatment plant for the city of Huntsville, too. And if I can't get somebody to cover my call duty, because I'm on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and I have to try to get another operator to cover my call duty for me whenever I go to do these cook-offs, you know, because I can't just jump up off the pit and go in. And so if you can't get anybody to cover you, then you're stuck.
Yeah, well, I've been there, you know, like I've been doing refrigerator stuff, and I was that way for years. I mean, and I'm still that way, I mean, in a lot of ways. You know, like I said, I was at that Sanco Challenge in Austin last year, and I had a Domino's Pizza call me from up here. They were having problems with some refrigeration. I told them, like, I'm 8 hours away, but, you know, I'll walk you through what we can do. And I think we got him going, and kind of over the phone. I'm like, dang. But, I mean, yeah, it happens. And, I mean, you know, you get in those situations, and it's tough. And, you know, because, you know, I never know when someone's going to call or, you know, and that's kind of that deal, too. Is, I mean, you know, when I was younger, you know, I wouldn't go anywhere because of that stuff, you know. And, you know, I got older and, you know, I decided, you know, time with the family and stuff like that, too, on that end of it. And that's something that, you know, my bosses are very, very good about on that end of it. You know, if I've got something to do as far as cook-offs or, you know, family or something like that, they're all for doing it. And, we'll work it out some way or another. And, because, I mean, that call thing, I mean, I've had it. I mean, it can consume you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of people don't understand that. I mean, I guess, you know, doctors and stuff like that, you know, they kind of see that end of it, and it's tough sometimes.
Yeah.
And, so what do you do, kind of the treatment part of it, or?
Yes, I manage the entire facility. I mean, I got a crew of four guys, and we just keep the plant going and make sure that all the water going out the back door is cleaner than the water we're putting it into. We treat about 2.5 million gallons a day. put it out the back door, and makes that creek look like a swimming pool.
There you go, buddy. No, exactly. Well, hey, we do got another caller in, and maybe Kent. We might have called him out finally. So I'm going to bring him in here real quick, and we'll talk. So hang on just a second. Let me get him in. 210-313-7887. You're live. Who we have?
You guilted me into it, I guess. It's Kent.
Gotcha.
Well, I know if we'd dog you enough, we'd get you there.
Yeah.
It's pretty quiet over there. What'd you do? What'd you do? Put duct tape over their mouth?
Well, he's on his way following me. The 2-year-old is in trouble.
Hey. Get my ice cream cone. He'll be quiet.
There you go. At least for 5 minutes, 10 minutes. I haven't heard nothing. My daughter was out here a minute ago, too. She was out here hanging out. And we had my daughter's been gone. And about a week ago, we had this stray kitten show up. And she's been living out here around my cooker. And I kept thinking that I'm saying go on. Well, my daughter come home now. And so, you know, she's 9. So I think I have a cat now. I think they're, you know, out buying new cat food. And there ain't no telling what I'm into now. So I don't know how kids are. You know, I got another mouth to feed now, it looks like.
I know the feeling.
Like, great. Like, damn, what's going on?
I'll tell you what, we had a stray cat wandered up here a while back, and I'll tell you what, he's been putting a whooping on them rats out there in the feed shed.
Well, that's good. That's good. Rats can get pretty big, and they kind of like that grain stuff.
Oh, man, some of them suckers are big as squirrels out there.
Yeah, I can understand. You know, years ago, I worked for a bus manufacturer, 20-some-odd years ago, and what I did was I did a lot of warranty work. I did, you know, the refrigeration and lots of other stuff on their electrical systems. And matter of fact, about a week after the riots out in L.A., they sent me out to L.A. And we had 303 buses out there that had some issues. And so they sent me out there to, you know, kind of evaluate it and see what the hell we were going to do. And there were a bunch of people lived under the damn bridge. There was a bridge right there. And they lived under this bridge. And there was rats around there. And I really think they got 8 rats. I really did. Because, I mean, that thing for size, I mean, they were like big possums. I mean, you'd be laying underneath a bus and hear them damn things come. It was unbelievable sometimes how big the damn rats were. But they'd have a fire over there every now and then, and I swear to God that's what they were doing. They were cooking them damn things and eating them. And I've never seen, well, bigger than some house cats, how big them damn things were. And I was like, good Lord. So,
like a damn Nutri-Rat.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, you'd be laying underneath the bus working on something, and you look over, and here comes this big burly bastard, and you'd be like, holy shit, where'd you come from? Somebody give me a gun. So, I'm like, man, and we're right there, you know, in the movies, they show this concrete river in L.A. You know, they always have, you know, high-speed chases and stuff down it. Well, we were right there on that river. It's just a big old concrete river runs right through L.A. there. And matter of fact, we were out there as long as they had the trial for Rodney King and all that. And I was there the day that they announced the verdict on all those cops and stuff there. And it was pretty amazing. I mean, they had helicopters circling the courthouses and. And I'll never forget it. It was a wild day. Matter of fact, they shut everything down around there. They wouldn't even let us work in there that day. They were afraid that they were going to have more riots and stuff. So, but yeah, no, big rats out there, buddy. And I guess you could barbecue them. I guess that's probably what technically they were doing to them out there.
They want the Jasons to make gumbo out of them real quick.
Well, you know, I've eaten squirrel in my life, and I mean, I've hunted squirrel, and I'll go for the squirrel thing. I don't know about the rat thing. I might have to hold back on that part. I mean, I've done a lot of things, and I've eaten a lot of interesting things, but I don't know. Rat to me is just not, I mean, there's just nothing about it. You know, it's kind of like everybody talks about pigeon being a delicacy. Well, I'm not sure about that one either. I mean, I see what they do on rooftops and stuff like that and what they eat. Of course, chickens ain't much better. They'll eat their own shit. So, you know, I guess, you know, looking at it from that aspect, you know, people don't realize that, you know, how dirty them birds are.
That's but, what you know, my dad, he used to always tell me, I don't know how such a nasty-ass bird can taste so good.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'll say, you know. I hate to say this, but, you know, since I've been, you know, cooking in competitions, you know, I probably won more money cooking chicken than I have anything else, and I hate the damn things. And, you know, so I guess I ought to be a little nicer to it, you know, because, you know, I have a butcher here, you know, of course, we do the half chicken thing. And the butcher I started out with, you know, I explained to him, you know, we were cooking and what we were doing and everything. So, you know, he did a really good job on half chicken. Well, he went somewhere. And so, you know, some other guys in there. And the first time I had one guy, he ran it on the bandsaw, had bone dust all over it and everything else. And I was like, oh, man, come on, cut it with a knife. And then I watched him cut it with a knife. I was like, well, maybe you ought to use a bandsaw because you don't know how to use a knife. And, I mean, that thing was more hacked up than I'd ever seen anything. A 10-year-old could probably cut a chicken bird, and he did.
Wow.
And so then they got another young guy in there. And he kind of hacked one up at first, and, you know, I kind of got to know him a little bit, and I started talking to him. And, you know, and they're taking a little old, you know, 6-inch, you know, skinning knife and trying to cut a chicken in half, you know, and they're trying to go through the bones. So I was like, I said, hey, you got a knife back there? I said, you know, I said, you ain't got like an 8-inch breaking knife or, you know, even bigger? Oh, yeah, we got some of those. I was like, try one of them, buddy. And so I kind of got him trained, and I said, you know, this is kind of bad. Well, I'm going to train my own butcher. But he's, you know, he's pretty good at it now. I mean, he'll slice them up, and all. That's what I tell him. I said, you know, I told one time, I said, hell, I said, that may be a $500 bird. I'll never forget the guy looked at the price tag. He said, no, it's $4.54. I said, no, you don't understand. That's a competition bird. And I said, that bird may be worth $500 for the weekend over. So don't be screwing it up. You know, take some pride in it and be nice to it. You know. But then, you know, a lot of people don't get that. They don't understand it. I mean, they understand, you know, we like that skin to look pretty and, you know, not be all butchered up and you know, that end of it. And, you know, like prepping ribs or anything else. I mean, you know, it's one of those things. I mean, you know, IBCA, you know, you guys and the Gulf Coast stuff, I mean, it's still, I mean, you know, it's got to look good. I mean, presentation is still worth something, even though you're putting on a piece of foil. People aren't saying that, you know. The cleaner them edges are and all that end of it, the prettier they look, you know, the better off you still do. You know?
Yeah.
You know, taste and tenderness is a lot, but, you know, it's like a Kansas City deal, you know, and that's kind of how I went into the Kansas City stuff was that I wasn't as much worried about the presentation part of it as I was worried about taste and tenderness. Well, I'll have to say this, is that you better worry about that in Kansas City because those few thousand points that appearance stuff generates can cost you a lot of damn money, and it has.
Mm-hmm.
So you start learning. These things are a little different. And, you know, even if you're dealing with lettuce and parsley and all the other crap,
you know, even in the IBCA, I've heard of them, you know, throwing an entry out just because it looks so bad, nobody wanted to taste it.
Yeah. Well, and that's the whole deal, too. I mean, you know, you may not get BQ'd, but you may have someone that don't want to taste it, and they're just gonna score you a 1 or a 2 on it. And, I mean, there you go. I mean, you know, they just pretty much signed your death certificate right there. I mean, you know, unless you just end up in one of those deals where, you know, you have a couple of tables running and, you know, and this situation happens quite a bit, I hear, is that, you know, you've got, you know, say you got 7 judges on each table, that's 70 points each table. Well, you know, one table may have 60 points that it takes to get onto the final table. And the other table, you know, high score, maybe 40 points.
Well.
And so you have a big contrast between that by the time they get onto the final table. And, you know, and I've heard that. I mean, I've heard people talk about, you know, there's been just some god-awful crap making the final table. And, you know, but they're in there. And here you go. So, you know, that's one of those things, and I mean, I wish that, you know, there was a little bit more about that end of it. It was, you know, a little different. But, you know, as we progress and the more cook-offs and the more public input and public involvement stuff that we get on that end of it, you know, the more that that's going to become, you know, a better thing. Because, you know, then people are going to be a little more used to judging food and stuff. You know, it is a little bit different, you know. You get a lot of first-time people, you know, and we had that in Kansas City stuff this year, you know. I cooked in the contest that, I mean, less than 20% were certified. And you could see it. I mean, you'd have your scores where it'd be, you know, 999, 989, and then, you know, all of a sudden you'd have 974. What the heck happened there? And, I mean, that's it. You know, you get a couple of uncertified judges that hadn't judged Kansas City stuff, and that, they will sign your death certificate. They will hurt you. And there were several of us that experienced that this year.
For that cook-off we're going to put on next year, they're talking about putting on a CDJ class at Van Houston. I believe they're trying to schedule it for October.
Really?
Hey.
So, I want to take a certified judge. I just, you know, had many of them close enough to where I could, you know, take off on the weekend and go do one.
Right. Yeah, I'm gonna take that one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's right there. I would too. I absolutely would. Yeah. I mean, you're exactly right. I mean, because you know, I sit in. I've never officially judged a contest. Okay, you know, and part of the problem is that, you know, if I'm going to be at a contest, I just seem to be cooking.
Yeah.
As much as I hate to say that, I mean, it's just me. If I'm going to be there, I want to be competing. But I did, when I first started, I had a man tell me, he said, hey, he was the head judge, and he said, look, I was trying to figure out all this stuff, and I was trying to figure out the process and stuff like that. He said, I'll tell you what. He said, when you get done with your brisket today, you get it turned in. He said, I'll allow you to come in and you can watch and can't say anything, but you can just sit there and you can just watch. Well, and at that point in my career, no one knew who I was anyway, so it really didn't make a difference. And so I went in and I watched the judge brisket. And it was a Lone Star event. And I learned a lot by just watching. I mean, it was just a little small town. I think there was, I don't know, 22 of us or something that day. And I learned a lot just by that, just watching, you know, kind of how the process went. You know, that helped. So, you know, and as far as food-wise, you know, there's always, you know, at any contest, there's always a core group of you guys that kind of hang out, and you taste each other's foods, and you know, there's that fellowship and all that end of it. And, I mean, you know, if you have a good day, I mean, you're proud to allow someone else to try your food. You know, now some guys, you know, they're pretty particular. They don't want you to know what they're doing. But, you know, I've always believed in sharing. And if someone wants to share their food with me, I'm grateful for it. And don't mean that I'm going to cook that way. It just means that, you know, you may learn something. May give you a different outlook on it, different aspect, or you might, you know, hell, you might help someone else out too. You know, that's a part of it, and that's one of the parts that I really like about cook-offs, because, you know, we're all competing against each other, but we always help each other out. I mean, you know, I've had guys that ran out of wood, you know, and if I got plenty of wood, I'm like, you know, hey, get what you need, you know. You know, do what you need to do, or anything else. I mean, you know, anything that I have that, you know, as long as I've got enough, you know, you're welcome to it. And come over and, you know, you may whip my ass that day, but and I may remind you of that, like, you know, hey, I am, you know, I was part of the Swamp Donkey team today. But you know that's just part of it, and I mean that's one of the things I love about it, is that we can kind of do those kind of things and we can kind of enjoy ourselves and you know, we can razz each other and we can compete like hell. But, you know, at the end of the day, we're still all friends and, you know, we do anything for each other. So,
That's like I was talking to a guy the other day and, you know, that's helping out with the plan of the cook-off and everything. And we were just talking about the barbecue community in general. And, you know, and he said, y'all seem like y'all are all kind of in tune with each other. And I said, yeah, we are. I said, it's almost like, you know, you can meet somebody and it's like they've been part of your family, you know, even though you just met them that weekend. And,
yeah.
You know, but there's a lot fewer bad apples in the barbecue community than there is any other competition, you know, or just about anywhere else. You know, the barbecue community is just full of good people.
Oh, there is. Well, you know, and that's the thing. I mean, you know, you're going to have your sugars and, you know, the other side of that. And, I mean, hell, I mean, we all have that. I mean, you know, and you probably heard me say it before. I mean, you know, I go to cutoffs in our part of the world, and you know, we've had some success, and you know, and I don't pay attention to it. But you know, my wife and you know, friends stuff like that are kind of sitting there, you know, and they'll have other people come in, and you know, hell, they're just you know, they'll say, man, they're just looking at all the stuff that you got out. I'm like, well, that's fine. You know, maybe they'll learn something out of it, or. Maybe it'll help them, or, you know, I really don't notice it. I miss that a lot. And, you know, like I tell everybody, you know, I think that you could give everybody, you know, the rubs and all the other end of it that you're using. And, you know, unless they cook identically to how you cook, you know, they're not going to cook to your level or whatever, you know what I'm saying? I mean,
yes,
you know, hell, I mean, they may be better than you, they may be worse than you, but they don't have your style of cooking. I mean, there's still something to be said about that end of it. I mean, you know, let's face it, I mean, you know, everybody cooks with salt and pepper and garlic and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I mean, in a lot of ways, you know, we all use a lot of the same damn spices. It's how we use those spices, though, or those rubs or anything else in that process that gives us those results. You know, it's not just, you know, the rub, the, you know, just it's all of a sudden, well, if I use West Texas Pitmaster's rubs, I'm going to be a winner every time. No, absolutely not. If you don't use it the same way I use it, then... you may not do as well.
Right.
You know, that's just it. And, you know, now, that's where, you know, learn to cook and cooking more and doing more and learning those kind of things. I mean, you do. I mean, you pick up things. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, I've picked up things from different guys. You know, hell, I mean, I've had, you know, well, I'll give you a perfect example. IAB 30, which is probably in the top, well, I think last year they were in the top five of Kansas City cooks. They're a fellow team of mine. They're sponsored by Oak Ridge, just like I am. We're cooking in Albuquerque this year. And we're talking about chicken. And, you know, we're talking about, you know, skin and, you know, all that technique. You know, we're talking about chicken change earlier and stuff like that. And so they kind of want to see the chicken change deal. So I was showing them. And so I was talking to Tom and them, and Tom's like, you know, he said, hell, he said, we don't scrape our skin or anything. I was like, well, you know, what kind of chicken do you buy? He said, we buy the biggest chickens we can find, the fattest. He said, I don't scrape them. He said, but the way I cook them, he said, it renders the fat out. And he said, I get to buy through skin. Well, I can tell you this. I hadn't tasted his chicken, but he must be doing something right because he's usually in the top five in chicken. So, you know, a little different style. Matter of fact, he goes against, he uses a Game Changer, which is a brine from Oak Ridge. He uses it, and I believe on the directions it's like an hour or two for chicken for brining. Well, he like me. I'm one of them guys. I brine my chickens for 6, 7, 8 hours. He takes that stuff full strength and he does the exact same thing. Completely different than what even the directions say from Trump and them guys over there at Oak Ridge to do what he does with it. And he hits every damn week. Or every time he's cooking. So, you know, hell, I mean, what else do? I mean, he's changed up the recipe on that end of it. I mean, he runs it full strength. He runs it twice to three times as long as they say to run it. He don't scrape his skin like a lot of them say to do on thighs. And like I said, he's in the top five most of the time in chicken. And he does a lot of IBCA cooks in Arizona, too. So they do IBCA, too. I mean, and so it's pretty amazing.
So he knows both sides of the fence, man.
He does. Absolutely, he does. Well, you know, Brian McLarty out of Southlake over there, Big Fish, does a lot of OBR stuff, Operation Barbecue Relief. Same way with him. I mean, he's another one of the sponsored teams through Oak Ridge, and he kind of does the same thing with that chicken. And I mean, even in IBCA stuff, and I mean, he kicks ass all the damn time. I've ran that whole situation once this year, and it's a whole different flavor profile. But I think that the difference is that I smoke my chickens, and them guys are grilling. And so you get a different flavor profile out of that end of it, too.
Right.
And so I did like my brine and my chicken with their rub better than I did running their combination just because of the different cooking style. So, you know, even that right there will change things. I don't know. How do you guys grill chicken? Do y'all brine them?
Yes, sir, I do. That's something I just started doing the end of last year. And I started brining them, and that's also, you know, kind of improved, you know, on my product a little bit there. In my opinion, I mean, I'll pull them off the pit, and they'll just be crying. You know, there's some moist.
Yeah, absolutely. That's it. I mean, you can stick a thermometer in one of them, and, I mean, it's just pork juice. And, you know, almost like they're just bleeding. But, I mean, you know, to me, that's one of the key things with brining. Now, you make a night and day difference with brine. And, you know, I got the brining thing. You know, in fact, before I really knew what, you know, what was going on, but a lot of people used to brine turkey for Thanksgiving. And so that's kind of where I got it from, was that, you know, I'd had some turkey before that was brined. And I thought, man, that's just damn good. Well, I'll never forget, the first one I ever did, I did it for about 9 hours. And we cooked it at a competition. And it had great flavor and everything. It was just mush. Had breast, kind of like, yeah, in your mouth, like, ugh. Well, it's got good flavor, but, you know, it had no texture to it. It had no firm, you know. And I thought, okay. And so the next contest I went, and it's kind of a funny deal. The next contest I went, it was in March. It was snowing. It was about 100 miles away. Snowing like hell. I don't get there till like 9 o'clock at night. Well, I take the girls to the motel and everything, get them all checked in. It's a little bitty old town. So by the time I get ready to brine my chicken and all that, I mean, it's late. And so I finally get my chicken brined and everything, and I get everything ready. And so the next day, there's a guy, he lives in Paradise down around there, a guy named Royce Williams. I don't know if you guys ever competed with him. Hell of a damn cook. Old man. The head judge came up to me at night, and he said, hey, he said, this old man's going to probably come over and see you tomorrow. He said, I'll tell you this. He said, if he tells you anything, he said, listen to him. He said, been cooking for over 20 years. And he said he kind of knows his stuff. And he said, if you'll just listen to him, he said, he'll give you some good information. Well, he came that morning, tried my chicken. And I'll never forget this. He tried chicken. He said, hey, there ain't nothing wrong with that chicken. He said, that's damn good chicken. Well, we beat him that day in chicken. Now, the rest of it was kind of a pop. But we'll just keep going. But we played some chicken that day. And so I started going off there. Well, I had knocked off about 2.5 hours, 3 hours off of my brining time. It made a night and day difference. So, you know, there's
that inside of it. Right about an hour per pound is what I shoot for.
Okay. Well, you do it pretty quick. Of course. And it depends. I mean, it depends on how much, you know, salt and stuff like that you have in it, too. It's going to also dictate that. You know, I may not have as much. And, of course, I generally, when I do IBCA, I usually cook 8 half chickens. And then, you know, depending on the contest, you know, generally we're turning 2 halves. And so, you know, out of those 8 halves, I'll turn in the 2 best. And so in my solution, I've got 4 whole chickens in that solution at the same time. So, you know, that's just my mixture, you know, to, you know, proportion there. So, you know, if you're, you know, how many chickens do you normally cook?
I don't cook but 2.
Yeah. So, you see, and that'll make a difference too, you know, depending on your, you know, concentration, stuff like that too. So, there's a lot of guys like that. They'll cook 2 whole chickens, you know, give them 4 halves, and they go with it. Chicken to me is cheap. And so I'll cook a few extra just in case. I can always get rid of it. And, you know, I generally do, I'll do 4 whole chickens, I'll do 3 racks of ribs, and then 1 brisket. And kind of how I normally, if I'm doing IBCA, if I'm doing Kansas City, 1 brisket, 2 butts, generally about 24 thighs, and I'll do 3 racks of ribs. And, you know, hope for the best.
We usually do 2 of everything except for the brisket. And our brisket, that's our strong point. I mean, we do real well with brisket. And so we just quit cooking at 2nd brisket.
Right.
So,
that's the thing. I mean, you know, brisket is, and I mean, you know, I've had a lot more success with brisket this year, you know, than we ever have. And matter of fact, old Chris Huffman over in Dallas straightened me out a little bit on brisket, you know, as far as competition-wise. We were kind of up and down, hit and miss. I mean, you know, we'd hit here and there. He kind of gave me a few pointers this year, and after that, we've been a lot more consistent in brisket. But it seems to have cost me ribs for some reason. I'm not sure exactly how that happened, but brisket come up and ribs kind of went into the MIA division there for a while. You know, we get a call here and there, and you know, but you know how it is. I mean, you know, things change, profiles change. We cooked last weekend, and I had some of the best ribs I've ever cooked. And they were final table ribs, you know, out of 45 teams. And if you'd asked me that day, I would have told you that that's where, if I had a chance of placing, that's where we would have hit. Well, we final tabled in that, and we hit like a 6th in chicken and a 9th in brisket. So it's a good thing I wasn't in Vegas betting or something, because I'd lost my butt.
All right.
So.
Yeah, that's sometimes. You know, and I don't know, I guess it's one of those deals where you can't please all the people all the time with what you're cooking, but every now and then you run across a deal where they're giving the judges beer, giving them happy hour rates on beer to keep them in there judging, you know, and
yeah,
things like things like that kind of messes with things a little bit from time to time, too.
Oh, it absolutely does. And, I mean, you know, and a perfect example of that is Homer's backyard ball up here in Amarillo. Last year, there was 84 teams. We tied for grand championship in that contest. I hit in chicken and I hit in ribs. And there were three of us that had 14 points. Well, the other two guys hit in brisket and I did not. And so I ended up third overall. It cost me a lot of damn money that night. Well, the whole deal was all the judges were drinking beer. And I was still, you know, kind of naive about some of the shit. Well, you know, needed to have more salt in it.
Right.
So this year, we turn around. They've got 105 teams there this year. Ronnie Wade shows up. You know, he's one of the big names that comes in because they're guaranteeing $10,000. And, you know, so we're standing there in the cook's meeting, and I see Michelle Wade pop her head around the corner. I was like, some of it's there here. I told everybody, I said, this whole game has just changed because, you know, he cooks a hell of a damn brisket, and he's real strong in brisket. And I said, we'll see. Well, I remember them drinking beer last year, and so I added more salt to my damn brisket. And we ended up on the final table in brisket. And, you know, so we got a step closer this year. And all it was, the only difference was we added salt to it.
Right.
So, you know, absolutely. If they're drinking beer and, I mean, you got a little bit of experience at that contest and you know that, yeah, bring the salt on because, you know, who don't like salt and beer?
Right.
So, you know, that was a hard lesson for me to learn last year because Grand paid out about $800. I think Reserve paid out over $500. And it was a state championship to top it off. And so, you know, I mean, all I needed to do was to place in brisket and the game was over.
Yeah.
And I lost it. And I mean, here's what it is. I mean, them boys cooked their asses off too. I mean, you know, I give them credit for that. Butch and them guys, I mean, you know, hell, they did a hell of a damn job. But I mean, you know, that was my first year to cook up there. Them guys had cooked up there before. So I think that they probably knew a little bit more about that than I did. And so, you know, you learn them lessons. And, you know, you hope you can kind of correct that a little bit. Because it can be. I mean, it can cost you a lot. I mean, you know, I say cost you a lot. I mean, but it does. I mean, you know, hell, I mean, that could have been a state championship. You know, and you know, on the other side of that is too. Is, I mean, if you'd done better than one of the other categories, too, the game was over too. So,
yeah.
You know, but you know, you live, you learn, and you know, heck, I don't know, guys. I mean, I enjoy it. I love it. And it's a big part of my life, and. Hell, Stacey, I think we might get this deal going down there for your deal, and maybe, like I said, just have kind of a live show. And
I appreciate all the help y'all can give us.
Maybe you can get Kent to come down and cook with us. I don't know. He's pretty tough too. You know, is Kent still on here? I guess we lost Kent. So. Well, anyways, well, we'll get off here tonight, and I appreciate you calling in, Stacey. And if there's anything else I can do on that end of it, I mean, holler at me. I'll promote it all I can. And, you know, as we go, you know, what I'd say to you is, you know, maybe at least once a month, probably get you to come on, and let's just talk about it a little bit.
That'll work, man. I sure appreciate that.
So. Well, I appreciate you guys being a part of our barbecue family and West Texas Pitmasters, and you know, like I said, that you guys I couldn't do it. So, y'all have a good evening. I guess we'll get off here. You want to tell people how to find you, Stacey, or how to find the contest and that NWT?
Well, you can find me on Facebook, Stacey Lawler out of Huntsville, Texas. And then my team page is Swamp Donkeys Barbecue. And the cook-off, the chairman of the organizing committee, his name is Ben Pruitt, and you can reach him at 936-661-4204.
Okay. Well, like I said, and, you know, send me some more of the information, too, and I'll keep it up, too, and I'll plug it here and where I can. And
man, I appreciate it, man.
All right, thank you. You guys have a good evening. Have a happy Father's Day, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, man. You have a happy Father's Day, too, man.
All right. Y'all have a good evening. Good night.